So, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Linda Liu, and I'm here to present to you the research that I have been working on for the past 3 years. And as you can see from the slide here, my project is titled Antioxidant Induces DNA Damage, Cell Death, and Mutations in Human Lung and Skin Normal Cells. Now, this is surprising to hear because conventional thinking is that antioxidants are good for us. Reactive oxygen species causes oxidative damage, which has long been thought to be the major cause of many human diseases such as cancer. Antioxidants kill these reactive oxygen species and thus has been widely used in attempts to slow down the aging process and to prevent these diseases. However, recent studies have actually come to show that antioxidants may not be as good as once thought. Cancer prevention clinical trial has demonstrated a significant increase in lung and skin increase in risk of lung and skin cancer associated with antioxidants. And in fact, this clinical trial has been terminated because of the effects. However, another independent group picked up and reproduced these results, and both of these were published in New England Journal of Medicine. So I propose to investigate the effects that antioxidants had on human lung and skin normal cells. And the objective was to do this through well-controlled cell culture experiments to unravel the mystery or the unknown mechanism behind the results from the clinical trials. So the antioxidants that I chose was the green tea extract, epigallocatechin gallate, short EGCG, because one, it is an icon for antioxidants, two, it's water-soluble, which would be suitable for my well-controlled cell culture experiments. I chose two references to use. The first reference I chose was hydrogen peroxide because it's a major reactive oxygen species and it could compare reductive damage to oxidative damage. The second reference I chose was cisplatin, CDDP, which is a very toxic drug and a cancer-causing agent, so I could compare toxicity and the carcinogenic potential of EGCG. So what I did was I found the absorption spectrum for the reaction between the nucleotide DGMP and with EGCG, green tea, and hydrogen peroxide. I tested for cell viability using an MTT assay, and further for DNA double strand breaks using the gamma H2AX assay, and for apoptosis using the APOBRDU tunnel assay. Further, to test for any genetic mutations, I use the HPRT gene mutation assay on Chinese hamster ovarian cells. From these spectroscopic measurements, we can see that EGCG is actually released quite rapidly from green tea. Shown in the solid red line is 133 micromole of pure EGCG. The dotted color lines are measured at different times, so we can see at about 20 minutes, there's already 70 to 80 micromole of EGCG released. Around 1 hour, we get that 133 micromole of EGCG. And the green tea solution that's used here is at a concentration of 1.16 grams per liter, and this is, in fact, 5 to 6 times less than what an average tea bag holds. So these results here show the direct electron transfer from EGCG to DGMP. If we look at the graph below here, graph C, this is the reaction between hydrogen peroxide and DGMP. Shown in this purplish color is the different spectra over 24 hours. And these characteristic peaks that we see here are characteristic and distinctive for oxidative damage. If we look above 300 nanometers here, we see that there's no activity. However, if we look at the reductive damage or reductive reactions up here, we see that there's definitely something going on past 300 nanometers. And this could give an indication of the electron transfer. Next, moving on to the cell viability MTT results. The top two lines are human lung normal cells, and the bottom ones are skin normal cells. Shown in green are the cells treated by hydrogen peroxide. Shown in purple are the cells treated by CDDP. As we can see, as the concentration increases, as the concentration of EGCG increases, the cells die. And this is not surprising to find since we already know that hydrogen peroxide and CDDP are dangerous, especially CDDP being very toxic already. What is surprising to see is shown in red, EGCG. We see that at low concentrations, the cells die. And this is very surprising to find, since we already know cisplatin to be very toxic, yet EGCG showed itself to be even more toxic. Here are the IC50 values. The IC50 is the concentration at which 50% of the cells die. So again, shown in red is EGCG, and we see that at low concentrations, the cells are already dying, again, comparing it to CDVP. Here we see green tea. The IC50 value is not as low, however, it's still comparable to CDVP here, especially in these skin normal cells. Now looking at the DNA double strand break results, phosphorylated H2AX foci, these bright spots that we see in these images, are an indication of DNA double strand breaks. So if we compare the bottom row here to the row above with H2O2, we see that there's significantly more bright spots, more damage seen with EGCG. Again, this is consistent with the cell viability results showing that EGCG could be more damaging. It is known that DNA double strand breaks will likely lead to apoptosis. So here are the results from the apoptosis. And we see that as the concentration of EGCG increases, greater and greater percentages of cells undergo apoptosis. Now looking at the genetic mutation results. So here, as we see, as the concentration of EGCG increases, the plating efficiency decreases. Here over to the right, this is just the data normalized with the control being 100%. The important two graphs on this slide are the bottom two showing the mutants. As the concentration of EGCG increased, the percentages of, or the mutants existed in greater amounts. Now what's important is whether these mutants will continue to survive. Here is the cloning efficiency taken of these mutants, and we see as the concentration increases, the mutants continue to survive, which leads to a greater potential and could go on to cause cancer. So these results provide a compelling explanation for the clinical observations shown the increase in lung and skin cancers associated with antioxidants. As well, it demonstrates an importance of the new reductive damaging mechanism in cellular processes. As well, it suggests that antioxidant supplements most likely causes more cancers than they providing a possible answer to the questions asked by Dr. James Watson in 2013. So now in 2014, we have a lot more evidence for these questions. So starting from these clinical trials, which shown these dangerous effects in humans, we had scientists question about or speculate about antioxidants, to having these results that I presented to you today published in Science Report Nature Publishing Groups on experiments done in living cells, to now in 2014 another group showing an acceleration in lung cancer in mice. Although antioxidants being bad seems very controversial to popular belief, a lot of experiments are now showing consistent results, especially in lung cancer. So I'm really interested to see what will come. So God created antioxidants in nature, in our fruits and vegetables that we eat daily, and God saw that it was good. It is when we take these antioxidant supplements or isolate antioxidants alone and take them in excess that it may become dangerous. So I want to tell consumers to exercise special caution when taking antioxidant supplements. As well, this may impact a large population in the world, since green tea or antioxidants have been advertised as something that has been so good. And today's market advertises a lot of products with extra antioxidants, such as cosmetic products that penetrate directly into the skin. So the findings of this new reductive mechanism may be a key step for preventing and cure of human diseases, and I'm hoping that it'll improve the quality of life, health, and longevity. Lastly, I'd like to thank Dr. Chunrun Wang and Ms. Victoria Zhang for their help and supervision in the experiments conducted at the University of Waterloo. I'd also like to thank my parents, especially my dad, who's here today, for their encouragement and support, as well as financial support from Canadian Institute of Health Research and Canadian Cancer Society Research Institute, and thank everyone for listening.
Thank you for a very interesting talk. Are there questions for Linda?
Yes. The research that I found in literature, they're done, they're clinical trials, so not, they're not exactly done like the experiments I have on cells and on DNA. However, the results show consistent that they may be damaging or they may be dangerous.
So I have a question.
Sure.
The concentrations of EGCP you're using in vitro, how do they compare to what you get physiologically when someone drinks a cup or two of green tea?
Okay.
And is the EGCP intact as it goes through processing in the liver?
Okay. Well, I'm just going to relate back to this graph here that shows the release of EGCG going released quite rapidly into the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said here, it's actually 5 to 6 times less than what we have an average tea bag. However, you're right, when we do consume green tea, some of it gets neutralized in our stomach. It's not as strong as it would be if I added it directly to cells. And it's really interesting to see what, like you mentioned, in the liver and stuff like that. But those processes I'm not exactly sure of because I can't exactly
Have you measured the levels in plasma after someone has consumed green tea?
No, but that actually is a good suggestion. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm. And it's the reactive oxygen species that a lot of times we talk about being so bad and everything. Are really species that are generated in metabolism of the things that we eat, which are not good? So we eat the things that have the antioxidants incorporated in the plant or in the natural source, and that requires metabolism. The antioxidants are going to be generated in its molecular species where it is needed. In the liver or wherever it's going to be dealing with the reactive oxygen species that are generated in their metabolism. So in relation to your talk, it is not quite what happens in our bodies when you compare the culture of a chemical by itself isolated versus the microenvironment of a cell trying to react and break bonds and make bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Capture the reactive species where it's being generated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a huge difference. There's our limitations.
Yes.
Experimental
yes.
work. There's only so much we can do with the chemicals and the systems that we have.
Yes, you're absolutely right, but I do want to mention that there has been these results shown in clinical trials, and my results kind of may explain what's happening behind these clinical trials, which are with humans, so yes.
So I guess other next steps are going to be to define the target of this, like what exactly is happening.
Yeah.
Is it affecting a cancer gene? Is it affecting, what genes are affected?
Mm-hmm.
So you could do some sort of a RNA analysis in cells that have been treated and see what's going on.
Yes. There's definitely a lot more that can be done in this direction,
yeah,
and I'm
absolutely.
Really, really excited and interested in this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I think it also can be, again, a balance that just because something is good doesn't mean that 100 times more of it is better. Okay, thank you very much for a really nice talk.